appeal in a matter of Powell versus Johnson. Ms. Johnson, you represent the appellant in this case. Would you care to reserve any of your time for rebuttal?
Yes, Your Honor. I'd like to reserve 2 minutes.
All right. Then we're glad to hear from you when you're ready.
Okay. Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court, I'm Victoria Johnson for the Commonwealth. In this case, the Circuit Court failed to recognize the search warrant at issue here was properly supported by probable cause once the reference to the marijuana observed by the officer during the protective sweep was redacted. The Circuit Court's order suppressing the evidence in this case should be reversed for that reason. Here, in this case, officers smelled marijuana for a very long distance away while they were on a routine patrol and tracked the marijuana back to the house where the marijuana was located. They properly knocked on the door, and one of the occupants of the house answered the door and said that the occupants were smoking marijuana and that there was a weapon in the house, or that there were some weapons in the house. And the officers then called the occupants out and entered the house for a sweep. The Circuit Court found that the sweep was unreasonable and that issue wasn't granted by the court. However, one of the officers spotted some leafy green material that they believed to be marijuana. All of that information went into the warrant application that went to the magistrate. The officers smelling the marijuana from a long distance away and kind of, I guess, for lack of a better term, following their noses back to the particular house.
Michelle, this is Judge Humphrey. Let me interrupt you if I can and see if we can get to the crux of this issue.
Sure.
I gather from, and maybe Mr. Wright, when he gets his turn, can correct me if I get this wrong, but I gathered from the transcript that what Judge Lowe essentially concluded was that the illegally obtained information that resulted from the protective sweep tainted the search warrant. I don't believe he ever addressed whether the probable cause existed standing alone or excluding the tainted evidence. Is that your understanding of the record?
Yes, Your Honor. And that's at Appendix 80 to 81. The Commonwealth raised that argument, but the court's response to that was, the court's response to that was, the court's response was, but was it not in the affidavit they spotted the stuff? And the prosecutor responded, it was. And the court said, well, the law requires that there be some evidence that would lead the officers to believe that there was someone else in the residence. So the court went right back to the protective sweep issue. So the court didn't really analyze the probable cause standing alone. And that's the error in this case. The Commonwealth raised the issue, and that's the proper analysis, is to excise the tainted evidence, the evidence that was seen during the sweep, and to look at the warrant application as a whole, with the affidavit as a whole, without that tainted evidence in it, and determine whether it, independent of that evidence, whether there was probable cause. And there is in this case. There's the strong smell of marijuana that became overwhelming when the door was opened to the residence. And there's the occupant's admission that they were smoking marijuana and that there were weapons in the house. Well, actually, I think the weapons in the house wasn't in the affidavit, but that they were smoking marijuana. And that provides probable cause for the warrant. And I think that's my case, Your Honor. I hate to be so brief, but that's the correct analysis for this kind of issue, and the court's refusal to apply that when the Commonwealth brought it to the court's attention was the error in this case.
Well, you certainly have plenty of time left for rebuttal. I think it's only about 10 minutes.
I think that and I think that where the court got confused was the Murray case from the Supreme Court that I talked about some in my briefs. And there is some language in the Murray case from the Supreme Court that talks about whether the mention of the evidence of the scene during an illegal entry or an entry that wasn't supported by that was unreasonable affected the magistrate's decision. And as explained by Professor LaFave in the quote that I had from Professor LaFave in my reply brief, I think that affect the magistrate has to do with a more substantial effect on the magistrate. That means it affected his probable cause termination. So looking at Murray and Franks and the other cases from the Supreme Court on this issue as a totality, they're all really just another way of saying whether there's probable cause without that tainted evidence.
All right, is that it, Ms. Johnson, for now?
It is. If the court has questions, I'm happy to answer them.
I hear you.
I have none.
Okay. I'll reserve then. Okay, thank you.
All right, Mr. Wright, let's cut to the chase here, Mr. Wright. What's your response to Ms. Johnson's view that the law compels us to analyze whether or not probable cause, simply whether or not probable cause existed in the absence or after redacting or removing the information illegally obtained as a result of a protective sweep?
Yes, Your Honor. Good question. And first of all, may it please the court, this is Hannon Wright, and I apologize for the confusion over the schedule. It wasn't confusion for me missing yesterday. And I hope you won't hold that against my client, Mr. Dawson. But
one of the very few good excuses that we accept. So
well, I just hope that your wife and child are doing all right.
They're all doing well. I'm actually calling from the lactation office here at the hospital.
Too much information.
I agree. All right. To answer your question, well, the Murray decision, that court never got to the question of probable cause. It's not something that they ever considered. They remanded the case to determine the two questions that they left for analysis for the trial court. In Murray, you've got law enforcement that's observing a warehouse for a long period of time. They pull over a truck that's laden with marijuana, and the court never even discusses whether or not there was probable cause to search the warehouse, doesn't discuss whether there was probable cause in the search warrant.
Well, in this case, with excising that which the protective sweep learned, was there probable cause for issuance of the warrant or not? And if not, why not?
Well, Your Honor, obviously probable cause, very fact-based, and what do we have here? We have officers smelling marijuana, and we have one occupant in the house, comes out of the house, and admits that he had been smoking inside. So with that evidence, you've got very little. You've got a man standing outside saying he smoked it, and you got a smell that verifies that statement. And probable cause, it's a fluid concept. It depends on the facts and circumstances and whether there's fair probability.
But he's just admitting that he's committed a crime, and there's corroborating evidence that suggests that the evidence of the crime is in the house as the odor gets stronger as they approach it, and apparently is overwhelming when the door is open. So I guess Judge Haley's question is simply, let's forget there ever was a protective sweep, and let's forget that any information about it is in the warrant. Does everything else in the warrant constitute probable cause, or does it not?
Well,
I don't understand why it wouldn't.
Well, let's see what the officers didn't do here and what the witness didn't do. He didn't say there was more marijuana inside. He didn't say there wasn't any on his person. He wasn't searched. He wasn't even arrested or charged. If there is probable cause, it's limited to the man standing outside the house for being in possession, you know, whether it's in his bloodstream or it's on his person. So instead, the police, despite no exigency, they force their way into the house. They do.
There's a warrant here. We don't need to deal with the warrant exceptions. The question is whether the warrant is valid or not without the Judge Haley's question is simply, was the warrant valid without the protective sweep information? Is the answer to that question either yes or no?
I'd say no, Your Honor.
No.
I mean, there's probable cause to believe that he's in possession of marijuana, whether it's in his bloodstream and he's just finished smoking. But so that's where that inquiry is, because the police didn't do any further inquiry into that. And so
you're suggesting that if a police officer went to a magistrate and said everything that that we have in this record, you know, smell marijuana on a routine patrol, it got stronger as we approached the house. Knocked on the door, guy answers the door, door opens, overwhelming odor of marijuana, and then he admits smoking. You're saying if that was presented to a magistrate, that would be insufficient standing alone to constitute probable cause for the issuance of a warrant for the house?
Well, Your Honor, if we go to the entire set of facts here, we've got the police driving on Independence Boulevard in Virginia Beach and over open fields over some distance, maybe 150 yards, they claim to smell it and then pinpoint the house, and that's how they get to the door. So I think we have to look at all the facts and circumstances here. And the other point here is that the trial court never even got to it, which is, if the court were to say that the trial court got it wrong, I think the answer is to remand it and have them look into this issue. Because
the question is, the trial court, and would you agree, I asked Ms. Johnson, and she seemed to agree. Let me see if you agree. Would you agree that what Judge Lowe essentially ruled here was the warrant was tainted because of the, and therefore ineffective because of the improper protective sweep information?
I would, I apologize if I'm not understanding your question correctly. I think he decided that this search was illegal, and I think Ms. Johnson is correct in saying that he didn't get to the probable cause underlying it. But he said that the search was illegal, and therefore he suppressed the evidence.
He said the search was illegal because of the information in the warrant, correct? In other words, the warrant was not legally effective. Otherwise, we'd have a legal search here, wouldn't we?
Well, I'm not sure that that's an accurate, with all due respect, Ron, I'm not sure that's the accurate
logic. Well, it's either a warrantless search or a search with a warrant, and if it's a search with a warrant, then it can only be with a valid warrant. And I understood the record to suggest that Judge Lowe had ruled that the warrant was not valid because it contained this information that had been illegally obtained. Is that,
well, I think that's right,
correct analysis?
No, I do believe that's right, Your Honor. And that's why I don't think excising is the proper standard here. I don't think that's the right analysis to do. That would ignore the Supreme Court's decision, Murray, which was...
How do you deal with the Cherry and Bunch cases from our court, then?
Well, Your Honor, I think the Cherry case. Well, Your Honor, I'll be honest, I'm not familiar with that one.
Cherry basically cites Johnson against the United States Supreme Court case from 1947. It says that if you have probable cause to believe contraband is present, that's sufficient. You know, that's all you need to have a valid warrant. Probable cause that contraband is present. And if that's the issue, and the warrant suggests contraband is present, or at least there's probable cause to that effect, isn't that the end of the analysis?
Well, Your Honor, I'd argue that the problem there is it would be essentially vacating the protections of the Fourth Amendment. You've got officers doing it what's essentially a search now, a warrant later situation where they cross the threshold, they go and search the house, and then they decide to get a search warrant.
But your whole analysis seems to be turns on whether or not there is probable cause without the tainted information. Clearly, if the answer to that is no, there's not probable cause, then the warrant affidavit is insufficient to support the issuance of the warrant.
Well, I agree.
If there is, then basically it's no harm, no foul. It's sort of a harmless errors analysis, isn't it?
I respectfully disagree, Your Honor. I agree that there's no probable cause. There's no probable cause, and this is over. I think I'd be remiss if I solely stood on that argument. I think what we have to do is realize that, I mean, and what Murray talks about is that there's no independent source here. That it was all part and parcel of the exact same investigation, same officers, same place, same time, and. You know, the question is whether the search warrant was, or the search that was pursuant to the warrant after, was in fact genuinely an independent source of the info it issued here.
I'm mixing apples and oranges. The independent source doctrine is a way around the exclusionary rule. I mean, the exclusionary rule stands for the proposition that if the police act improperly, you exclude the evidence obtained in any derivative evidence. Here, what we don't really have derivative evidence. What we have is a total package of information, and the question, it seems to me, is if some of that information is legally obtained and some of it is illegally obtained, whether the illegally obtained evidence basically trumps all of the legally obtained evidence and subtracts somehow from a probable cause analysis versus simply excising it and considering what's left.
Point well taken, Your Honor. And again,
what's the right answer then?
Well, I don't think that the Supreme Court, I mean, the Supreme Court obviously is well aware in Murray of the line of cases, and they never even got to that probable cause analysis. Instead, they said because of that illegal search that the police essentially self-inflicted a much more onerous burden on themselves, that they had to convince the trial court that no information gained from the illegal entry affected either the law enforcement officer's decision to seek a warrant or the magistrate's decision to grant it. And so that's really what we're left with, and what should be the proper, if there's going to be a second analysis of this thing, then that's what the trial court should.
If we review legal decisions de novo, and that would include the magistrate's decision, it seems to me, so, and if the probable cause determination is a legal one, then it seems to me our job is not to speculate about what a magistrate may or may not have done. Our job is to look at the facts and based upon the standard of review, which in this case favors you as the appellee, and then conclude whether or not there is or is not probable cause, isn't it?
That's true, Your Honor.
Mr. Wright, this judge had one quick question in your statement of the facts. I believe the individual who came out said that they, and by that I presume he meant all the people who were in the apartment, were smoking marijuana. Isn't that correct?
Your Honor, I have looked through it several times for that same issue because I think it is important. And
well, if you look on the transcript, page 25, you'll see where a police officer said they were inside smoking marijuana inside the house. So it wasn't just your client. Apparently there was enough marijuana that they and the other people had access to it. Does that make a difference in your analysis?
And obviously the court's aware it wasn't my client that came outside that the police spoke with. It was his guest.
Well, okay.
But I understood, Your Honor. And I think, and what we've got there is an officer quoting and perhaps misquoting, and I'm not sure if that's accurate based on the other statements that are in there. I'm not sure if that's accurate, and also based on what's in the warrant.
All right, sir. Thank you.
And Mr. Ray, anything else?
No, gentlemen. I would just ask you to, again, obviously the applicable standard on this review, light most favorable to the prevailing party, and just respectfully remind the court of, you know, that suppression is the principal deterrent of Fourth Amendment violations by the government, and ask you to rule in favor accordingly.
All right, Ms. Johnson.
Thank you, Your Honor. This is not a search now, warrant later situation. The police officers had adequate probable cause when they smelled that marijuana. That's what the Cherry case is about. That's the plain smell doctrine. And they followed that marijuana smell to its source. And I know that the defense stipulated that the officers could smell the marijuana, could recognize the smell of marijuana. That's in Appendix 17 and 33 from that long distance. And I think it's probably reasonable to conclude that if one could smell marijuana from 150 yards away, that's an awful lot of marijuana being burned. So the officers tracked that to its source, and that's adequate probable cause right there. When the occupant of the home, when the guest opened the door and said that, and to be perfectly clear, at page 25, the officer said they were smoking marijuana in the warrant application. The guest said that he was smoking marijuana, so there is some difference there in perfect candor with the court. But either way, that indicates that there is marijuana in the house with that much smoke. Officers also stated and the warrant application that when the occupant opened the door, the smell of marijuana became overwhelming. So that is not a search now, warrant later situation. So there was certainly adequate probable cause at that point. And the Murray case is also factually distinguishable from this case. The Murray case involved a situation where the officers had not included the evidence that they had seen during their earlier entry into the warehouse in the warrant affidavit. Here, we have that information in the warrant affidavit, so we can kind of tell what its impact could be, and we can easily excise that using the Franks analysis and the analysis that this court has used in the past in these types of situations. And for that reason, Your Honor, we would ask that you reverse the trial court. And again, a remand is not necessary. The historic facts, which should be viewed in light most favorable to the appellee, are clear on the record. This is a legal determination, and should be...
When you say remand, not necessary, so you mean remand for additional fact-finding?
Yes, that's correct, Your Honor. I'm sorry.
Obviously,
we are going to remand because... Well, yes, Your Honor. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be unclear. But yes, a remand for further fact-finding on this issue is not necessary. This is a legal issue that the court can decide, and the remand for the trial. And if the court has any questions about the Commonwealth's position, I'm more than happy to answer them.
There apparently are none.
Okay. Thank you, Your Honor.
For me, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wright. Ms. Johnson, again, congratulations, Mr. Wright, on behalf of the court, and the court will now adjourn to conference.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.